You're listening to Charlottesville's Podcasting Network with your host, Dan Gould. Virginia History with Rick Britton starts right now. Rick Britton is a local award-winning author, cartographer, and historian. You can find him online at rickbritton.com. He joins me in studio for our continuing series on Virginia's colorful 18th and 19th century history. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, and I'm glad you brought up 18th and 19th century Virginia history, because there's a conceit of mine that I need to admit to all the listeners, and that is that, to me, basically, since 60% or more of the Civil War was fought in Virginia, if it's Civil War history, it's pretty much Virginia history. So on some of these, and I hope they don't mind, I hope they enjoy, we're going to travel a little bit beyond the boundaries of the great state of Virginia. I hope that's okay.
I'm sure that'll be
you
just
think
fine.
So? Okay. Well, they can let us know. And what's that number? What's the email address?
That email address where you can write to us and make suggestions or register complaints is a Rick Britton Podcasts. That's BRITTON Podcasts, plural, Rick Britton Podcasts at gmail.com.
Right. That you don't want them actually calling your home phone number.
No.
So you don't want me to mention your home phone number.
No. not in this case.
Okay.
So if you can write to us, that would be great. And of course, you're always welcome to comment below our post in the public commenting area. And if you've forgotten that address that I just gave you, there's a link there that you can click and you can write to us that way. And of course, we always invite our listeners to subscribe to Rick Britton Podcasts. At the bottom of every post, there is a link where you can click. It's a very simple procedure. One click, enter your email address, and you're on your way to receiving a free update every time we release a new edition of Virginia Podcast, Virginia History with Rick Britton.
Sounds like fun.
It is.
And it's free.
And it's absolutely free.
Okay.
All right, sir.
Following on the mode of kind of going a little bit far afield from Virginia, I thought something that would be fun would be to talk about, and these are my five favorite Civil War movies of all time.
These are your five personal favorites.
My personal favorites. And if people disagree, you know, send us an email and tell us why and what your favorites are. But these are my favorites, and I actually put them in order. The only one that really matters at where it is in the order is number one, because I'm absolutely positive that that is the best Civil War movie of all times. The other ones could be shifted around a little bit, but here they come. Number five, I'll give you the list and then we'll talk about them one by one. Number five, Gone with the Wind. Number four, Shenandoah. Number three, The Red Badge of Courage. Number two, Gettysburg, and number one, and I am convinced, if you disagree, let us know, that Glory, I think it's 1989, we'll talk about the dates, is absolutely the best Civil War movie of all time. But starting with number five, Gone with the Wind came out in 1939, and when you just think about that year for a moment, the same year that The Wizard of Oz came out, what an amazing year for movies 1939 was. It was directed by Victor Fleming, from the book, of course, by Margaret Mitchell of the same name, that had only been out since 1936. So they went from novel of the Civil War to a movie about the Civil War, and a very long movie about the Civil War, in only 3 years. It stars, of course, Clark Gable, Vivian Leigh, Leslie Howard, Olivia de Havilland, who in 2011 evidently is still alive, and Hattie McDaniel, of course, as the African-American maid. It won, house servant, maid was the wrong word there, house servant. It won 10 Academy Awards, and until 1966, it was the highest grossing film of all times. Now, let's talk about positives and negatives in the movie. Positives. It gives you, since it's based on a novel and it's based in part on the lost cause ethos, the lost cause myth, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, it gives you an idea of how the South viewed itself at the time in the war. Of course, it involves a family that's very well-to-do, that owns a plantation and lots of slaves. Obviously, not the most typical Southern family, not the most typical slave-owning Southern family. Negatives. Basically, it is a Civil War movie, but it's a soap opera, basically. And I'm going to say this. It's a chick flick with the Civil War as a backdrop. So basically, it's a very long, at over 3 hours, Civil War soap opera. And the negative part about it is, of course, is that it's based largely, because it's written by somebody from the South, in that era when the Lost Cause was very predominant. It's very strong in the Lost Cause ethos. And what is that, you might ask? Well, it's the idea that the slaves were happy, the slaves were well treated, they get along really well, they're trying to help their white counterparts in the South. And of course, the South was only defeated because it was overwhelmed by superior numbers and superior resources. Those are the basic elements of the Lost Cause ethos. Okay, number four.
Now, before we move on to number four, Gone with the Wind was also one of the first color movies, wasn't it?
Absolutely. If not the first major color film.
Made in color, yes. Very unusual.
So it's fantastic. One of the things to remember, I love watching, one of the things to remember is it says a lot, like another one of these movies does, it says a lot about the time in which it was made. The movie made today, from a story written today, would be very different, would be presented in a very different way. Number four, Shenandoah, 1965, directed by Andrew McLaughlin. And of course, it stars Jimmy Stewart and Doug McClure. A basic description of the plot is Jimmy Stewart is the head of a family with a lot of sons. The wife had died, and he often goes out to the cemetery to talk to her in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. And interestingly enough, and this is interesting because it's 1965, it has a very strong anti-war message. He's against the war. He tries to stop his sons from joining the Confederacy. When one of the sons accidentally ends up in the war and gets captured and goes to a federal prisoner of war camp, Jimmy Stewart gathers the clan together and they go off searching for the boy. He's the youngest one in the family. Interesting, because it's 1965, so the involvement in Vietnam was still very small. And interesting too, because at the time, Jimmy Stewart was a brigadier general in the Air Force Reserve, and even after the filming of this movie, he flew as an extra pilot a B-52 bombing mission over Vietnam. So the man was in the United States Air Force as a brigadier general and still took place in this very anti-war movie. Now the positives. It's Jimmy Stewart. If you're from my generation, you love Jimmy Stewart. Usually he's in Westerns, but he's just fantastic in this movie. One of my favorite scenes is they're in this bombed out house, and the whole family is despairing because they can't find the younger boy. And Jimmy Stewart famously says, you know, in that kind of halting voice of his, he says, you know, they want to go on back home. And he says, you gotta try, because if you don't try, you don't do. And it's just you go, oh my gosh, that's just so perfect, Jimmy Stewart. Now the negatives, some of the negatives are pretty funny. One of them, it's supposed to be the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia. And of course, I'm a Virginian, so I'm very picky about what the Shenandoah Valley looks like. When you see the surrounding area around, it's obviously been filmed in California. It looks nothing like the Shenandoah Valley. Not the right trees, not the right mountains. None of that stuff is right. And then when the conscription officers come to get some of his boys, there was a draft in the Confederacy, Jimmy Stewart kind of shoos them away as if they actually had a choice whether they were going to get drafted or not. Every time I see it, I have to laugh. There was no choice if you were drafted. He just kind of shoos these guys away and threatens them, and that his sons don't go into the army. So it's kind of funny.
And what I've just learned after all these podcasts we've done, something I didn't know, and that is that you can do voices.
Oh, thanks. Well, Jimmy Stewart's one of my favorites. Jimmy Stewart's fantastic. You got to admit, Jimmy Stewart's just great. So you got, so basically, I put that in there because Jimmy Stewart's in the movie. I'm sorry, but it deserves a place in the top five. Number three, Red Badge of Courage. It appeared in 1951. It's directed by one of the greats, John Huston. It's based on the Civil War novel by Stephen Crane. And it stars Audie Murphy. It's two men famous from World War II, Audie Murphy, and we'll talk about him in a moment, but also Bill Mauldin is one of the Union soldiers. Bill Mauldin, the famous World War II cartoonist, is also in the movie. Audie Murphy, you gotta love a movie with Audie Murphy, the most decorated American World War II soldier. By the time of his 19th birthday, he went in when he was 18. By the time of his 19th birthday, Audie Murphy in World War II had won the Medal of Honor, the Congressional Medal of Honor, a Distinguished Service Cross, two Silver Stars, two Bronze Stars, three Purple Hearts, not to mention the French Croix de Guerre, a Belgian Croix de Guerre, all these from the Belgian armies. The guy was really amazing. It follows, and of course, it's based on the greatest Civil War novel of all time, The Red Badge of Courage by Stephen Crane. What makes it the best Civil War novel is Stephen Crane actually went and talked with Civil War veterans. He had a huge advantage over the people writing today. He went and he talked with Civil War veterans to find out what combat was like. What this does is it follows one boy, the youth, the character played by Audie Murphy, through the Battle of Chancellorsville, and he starts off not knowing if he's going to be brave or is he going to be a coward. And in his first action, firefight, he runs. And then in one of my favorite scenes, as he's cowering in the rear, he overhears a general talking to another general about his regiment. And he calls them a bunch of old mule drivers. In other words, saying that they weren't worth anything. And he has that crisis of conscience, goes back into the lines. And then, of course, in his second firefight, he carries the flag. He leads them in an attack that drives the Confederates back. It's supposed to be in the Battle of Chancellorsville. And you can see a few elements of the Civil War battle in Chancellorsville. I've talked to you about the positives based on the very best Civil War novel ever written. Some of the negatives are kind of interesting. A lot of the uniforms that are being worn in the movie, the movie was from 1951, look like they're leftover U.S. cavalry uniforms from Westerns. And of course, I'm very particular about stuff like that. And a lot of the weapons, even in close-ups, they weren't careful about this, were not Civil War era muzzle-loading Springfields or Enfields, but trapdoor Springfields made a breech-loading weapon made in the 1870s, which is really funny because here's a breech-loading weapon and you see it being used in close-ups and they're still kind of pretending that they have to load it down the muzzle with the ramrod and everything. So at least they were trying to make it look like it was a muzzle loader. So that's the big negative, the uniforms, the weapons that are being used, and really the director, and if he had any technical advisors, they did not really seem to understand anything about formations. And so when you see the soldiers in combat, they're not in any kind of formation at all. And I don't think they understood that at all. So that gives you kind of a funny image of what combat in the Civil War looks like. Okay, number two, Gettysburg. 1993, at a whopping 4 hours and 14 minutes long. Of course, based on what I consider to be, in my never-to-be-humble opinion, the second best Civil War novel of all time, Killer Angels by Michael Shara. It was adapted for the screen and directed by Ron Maxwell. It stars Tom Berenger, Jeff Daniels, who really, as Joshua Chamberlain, a federal officer from Maine, of course, who went on to become the president of Bowdoin College and then governor of Maine. Jeff Daniels really runs away with the movie. He puts in the best performance. And as Robert E. Lee, Martin Sheen, and we'll talk about him in a moment. What it does is, and the advantage of this movie is, it focuses on this one battle. And based on the book Killer Angels, it shows you the battle from the perspective of officers on both sides. So Red Badge of Courage focuses on the men in the ranks. This one at the Battle of Gettysburg focuses on the officers. It's good acting. The combat scenes are pretty good. Because it uses Civil War reenactors in the units, they know how to use formations, so the formations look right. It's a good portrayal of perhaps the war's most famous battle. The negatives, and I mentioned the big positive, I think, is Jeff Daniels' portrayal of Joshua Chamberlain and the defense of Little Round Top. He really does a great job, I think. The negatives, some of the beards used in the movie, they're so fake and they're so obviously fake. They're just they're absolutely laughable. The story about Little Round Top, because it's based on a novel and because the novel is based on what Joshua Chamberlain wrote about his defense of Little Round Top, there's been some question recently about whether what he said happened really happened, because everything that we know about Joshua Chamberlain, most of it has been written by Joshua Chamberlain. He was a great writer, but he exaggerated a lot. So some of the things that they say happened on Little Round Top didn't happen on Little Round Top. Since you like my accents, one of the worst thing about the movie is Martin Sheen's accent as Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee was a Virginian. Martin Sheen plays him as perhaps some guy from Alabama or Mississippi with this real flowery, just kind of dripping southern accent. An example is he talks to an officer at one point and he says, "We are awash in a sea of blood, and I want this to be the final battle." Just kind of dripping and dripping with a really thick, way too thick southern accent, not a Virginia southern accent.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. 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 "In the center, they are not strong. Colonel Alexander will break them up the way he did at Fredericksburg." Stuff like that. It drives me up a wall. But a good movie. And number one, Glory, 1989. It came out, and it's the story of the 54th Massachusetts, commanded by Robert Gould Shaw, an African-American unit officered by white officers. That's the way it was done in the Civil War. Directed by Edward Zwick, starring Matthew Broderick, Denzel Washington, Cary Elwes, and Morgan Freeman. You gotta love any movie with Morgan Freeman in it. The positives is it's a perspective of a black regiment, and it shows you the kinds of things that the black regiments went through, the African-American regiments. They were called United States Colored Troops, or USCTs, what they went through in the Civil War. The combat scenes, the battle scenes are really good. The acting is just fantastic. Of course, Denzel Washington won the Academy Award for Best Actor from that movie. From my point of view, Morgan Freeman was even better than Denzel in that. Negatives: it's only loosely based on the story of the actual 54th Massachusetts. So what they did was, in creating this movie, they conflated all the different things that happened to different African-American regiments. So all the things in the movie that you see happening to the 54th didn't all happen to the 54th Massachusetts. For example, they didn't have a hard time getting shoes because they had a political connection in Governor Curtin of Massachusetts. They didn't have a hard time getting uniforms and weapons because they were politically connected. But other African-American units did. And in probably the worst aspect of it, the scene that won Denzel Washington the Academy Award, he's being flogged. He was tied to the extra wheel on the back of a limber and was flogged. But the fact of the matter is that flogging had already been banned in the United States Army. So that didn't happen. The great thing about these five films, if you look at them, if you take the time to look at them, and I encourage you to do that, is that they're based on three of the Civil War's most famous and best-selling novels and best novels, Gone with the Wind, The Killer Angels about the Battle of Gettysburg, and The Red Badge of Courage. And if you see all five of them, they give you a diversity of perspectives. One from the black participation, the African-American participation in the war. Two battle movies, Red Badge of Courage and Gettysburg. Two home front movies, albeit one of them from a lost cause perspective, Gone with the Wind and Shenandoah. An anti-war home front movie, Shenandoah. A general's movie, Gettysburg. And a soldier's movie, Red Badge of Courage.
Wow.
Great flicks.
Wow, that's a great rundown. The top, Rick Britton's top five personal favorite Civil War movies. You've been listening to the final episode in our series, Virginia History with Rick Britton, for the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Dan Gould.